Welcome, friends, and welcome to Healing with Cutting with host Dr. Drake. I'm Jacqueline Drake, and I'm actually going to interview Dr. Drake today. And we've had some really exciting things happen with patients this week, and we're so excited to be able to share all of this healing with everyone. And so today we're going to start with Dr. Drake, because he is actually kind of written out actually his healing story, and it's absolutely incredible and beautiful to see the whole process. And I've been privileged, obviously, to be able to witness the whole thing, and it's been incredible and beautiful on his own healing journey. So I have a couple questions today for him, and so welcome to your own show.
Hi. Happy to be here on Healing with Ketamine.
Yeah. So recently, you have actually finished a book that you have started many years ago, or it was a theory, I guess, and you really put it into practice. And it's been beautiful, like I said, to see you really embrace everything that we do and to really get it on paper, I guess is the right word. And it's been beautiful. So, yeah, so if you could tell us a little bit about that. And I know part of your process is using psychedelic medication and your healing. And so it's going to be beautiful to hear the story.
Yeah. So, as you know, I recently finished a book called The Way of the Butterfly, which is The Way of the Butterfly, a paradigm for transformative healing, which is a paradigm that I came up with in recovery from the loss of my sister. As I've discussed extensively, what it took to recover from such a painful loss, and how to use all the things that we do in our process at our center, including psychedelics, mindfulness, meditation, but also to add an overarching structure and a paradigm to help figure out how does somebody get through those things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm more excited because you actually use the creative process as well to express it out. And there's a lot of healing just in that as well, of getting people to share that. So I'd like to ask you on how this whole thing started. And how did this book really evolve for you?
Well, I guess the inspiration from the book came from my decision that I had to figure out how to heal from the loss of my sister. And that was really the genesis and the motivation. We had been doing work supporting people and healing from really challenging, really painful things. And then 6 months after we'd started doing that work, we had our own tragedy. And so I was forced to practice what I preach. And what I found was, though, I found that practicing what I had at the time wasn't sufficient. Using the tools that I developed as a healer to that point that I was using with people, quite honestly, was falling short. Talking about it worked to a point. Meditating worked to a point. Being active worked to a point. But nothing really helped to really get past it. And so that was the beginning of a search. I have to figure out a way to get past this. If I'm going to call myself a healer, I guess I'm going to have to figure out how to get over this mountain.
Yeah.
So that was the beginning of the process.
Oh, wow. Yes. And it was incredible to watch you now go through all of this. It's been beautiful. And so your journey with this started with using, obviously, you got to a point where you recognize you need a little more help, right? The tools that you were using were not quite exactly what you needed to heal this kind of wound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the tools I had were falling short, and that led to this process. Eventually, I found that I needed my own psychedelic experience to help me to get through it. After finding that talking about it, sitting in meditation, all those things were sort of falling short, that led me to having my own psychedelic experience to try to help to deal with it. And having that experience enabled me to be able to talk about it like this, right. And to be able to sort of get out of that spot of just, I can't believe this happened to me and I can't even catch my breath. And so having an experience allowed me to get the other side of that. And then I realized that we're still, once you have a psychedelic experience and you get a different view on things, and you find that, oh, I can't exist with this knowledge. I've realized that, yes, this thing happened, but there's more to me than I was aware of. And that is an ongoing place that I can exist from. What do you do with that? Mm. You know, how do you put that in your life? How do you take a transformative insight from a psychedelic experience and then integrate that? How do you make that in a part of your life? How do you transform your life? Right. And that, you know, that's the genesis of the Way of the Butterfly, which is, sometimes your life just changes. Mm-hmm. You know, you have your life and you're going along. You have your family as you think it is. You have your career as you think it is. You may have a relationship that as the way that you think it is. You may have your physical health in the way that you think it is. And all of a sudden, bam, overnight, one of those things in an instant changes. The shape of your family changes. Your relationship changes. Your physical health can change in an instant. And then who are you? Right, and that's a reinvention, and figuring out, once I've reached a point where I realize that the way of life that I had ended, the person who I was had ended, mm-hmm. and I could continue to look at that and look at who I was, mm-hmm. or I could begin a process of engaging with who I was becoming. And that was an unknown, right? Mm-hmm. And that's something in the process of writing the book, that idea that you don't know who you're going to be, mm-hmm. you know, you don't know what you're going to turn into, you don't know who you're going to be on the other side of this process, but you do know it starts with recognizing that where I was is done, mm-hmm. And who I was is over, and it's time to be something new, and you know, we call it the Way of the Butterfly, mm-hmm. because it's about transformation, yeah. you know, and it's about the journey that a caterpillar goes through to become a butterfly. And, you know, as a caterpillar is originally born, it eats leaves and has a period of survival and growth. And then there's a time when something arises within it where it says, I must change, I must transform now. It's time for me to become something different. I mean, those are those moments that come up in a person's life where things change fundamentally, where you realize it's time for me to be different. And we talk about that as the initial stage of the call for transformative change. You know, and then what do you do then? Once you've had that, you realize it's time for a change. And then what does a caterpillar do? Where it builds a chrysalis, right? So to go through this process, you need a place of safety. Mm-hmm. You need a place that you can allow yourself to be contained in a safe and secure place and literally fall apart. You know, what does a caterpillar do? It builds a chrysalis around itself, and then it literally falls apart into its constituent points, and then rebuilds itself in a new foundation. And that's a mysterious process. So there's this aspect of just surrendering to the mystery of transformation. And that can happen within a psychedelic experience. It can happen within a meditation. It can happen in a creative process. It can happen through physical fitness and a runner's high or walking through the forest. There's lots of places where you can have that transformative insight. And then on the other side of that transformative process, what happens then once that caterpillar has turned into something new, that's on a new foundation, then it has to emerge and be a butterfly, right? And then that's a completely different existence than it had before. Yeah. That's an existence based on a new foundation. It's an existence where it has wings, where before it had legs, it has eyes that allow it to see full color where before it only saw black and white. And you know, in human transformation, You know, we enter into a psychedelic experience, for example, which is a mysterious experience sure. that's unpredictable and yet powerful and transformative. And you have an opportunity to see things differently. You know, there is an opportunity to say things like, to shift from, oh, there's this loss and I don't know who I'm ever going to be. And that's a truth. And then there could be a new truth that emerges that's, you know, I'm still a full and intact human being here on this earth with plenty to give. And that remains. And there is more of me there than there is that I lost. And that becomes the new truth. Mm-hmm. And then you emerge and you have to live from that place. And that's what we talk about in the book, in the process of emergence and that leap of faith into believing you're different.
Yeah.
That leap of faith into believing that, yeah, I can still be here and there's still stuff for me to do.
Yeah. And I love that word emergence. It's absolutely beautiful, especially in the work that we do every day. We use that term actually when our patients kind of come back from their journey. And the medical term is literally emergence. And it's pretty beautiful when they come out of that. So there's a lot of transformation that happens. Mm-hmm. Working with thoughts as well, right? That's the mindfulness part of it. Mm-hmm. Where, besides obviously you wrote your book and it was about grief and loss, where other ways would you be able to use the paradigm of this kind of healing? Mm-hmm. What other aspects in life, journeys, and obviously in circumstances in life?
Well, it's applicable to many areas in life, and in any time where someone finds themselves going through a process of change or their life is transforming, voluntarily or involuntarily. sometimes people just reach a point in their life where they'll say midlife crisis, for example. There's a sense that this life that I have isn't the life that I was born to live. And what am I going to do with the time I have left? And that can be the trigger for transformation. You could be going on in your life and in your career and things could be chugging along and all of a sudden you find out company's shutting down, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. there's layoffs, and then you could be in school and your major can't be canceled,
right.
And all of a sudden you have to reinvent yourself at a moment's notice. So any time where what foundational truths you've assumed that you've been operating under, and that no longer applies, my marriage isn't what I thought it was. My health has changed in a foundational way. Any of these moments in life where things suddenly change, and life as it was can't go on. Yeah. That's the time that this paradigm applies.
Yeah. I can actually attest to that. That transformation is kind of my jam as well. I know personally when I had my transformation of it ended up being come obviously physical more, but it started with mental. When I closed my art gallery, that was, as you know, really, really hard. Mm-hmm. And to lose that and to lose all the stuff that I built with that was like a loss. I mean, it was a big loss, a big grief.
Yeah.
And working through using all the tools that I used also was meditation, mindfulness, and then obviously found fitness in that as well. But once again, it's always about the mind, right? And where our thoughts are and what got us there, really. You have to really be honest with yourself and say, how did I get here? What were these life circumstances that got me to this point of feeling hopeless or feeling helpless even?
Mm-hmm. And what foundational belief did I have in that I don't need anymore?
Right.
That doesn't serve me. You know, what did I believe about hard work? What did I believe about what it takes to achieve a goal? What I believe about what achieving a goal even looks like,
mm-hmm.
and to have a new truth emerge from that it's, you know, it's about passion or it's about serving a higher purpose, and that becomes a new truth that you emerge into. So there's many ways that this applies.
Yeah, and we see it almost every day. We really do. Just a couple other questions I've got for you that have been coming up since of all this. And that's really going back into, the psychedelic-assisted therapy that we do with the ketamine. You know, it's really utilizing all of that as well, right, in this Absolutely. Process.
Yeah, so this is the ketamine-assisted therapy or psychedelics, that's the part that adds the mystery to the paradigm, right? Because there's the moment that you say, I need to change, and then there's the part about emergence once you have the new belief. But where that new belief comes right. from, where you get that shift in perspective, that's what happens very often or is catalyzed through a psychedelic experience, be it through ketamine or psilocybin or MDMA, which is going to be legalized, certainly. But we use that as the catalyst for that that transformative change in perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's what allows the new belief to emerge. You know, anything from, you know, a search for love, for example, through if I do this thing, I will get the love from a person, and you continue to do those things until one day you realize that doesn't work. Well, then what do? Where does the love come from? How do you get it? Within a psychedelic experience, for example, you may have an experience of feeling unconditionally loved, a unearned love, for example. It's too good to be true. I didn't do anything to get that. But that's what unconditional love is. Yeah. And to really have an experience of that and to know it, and then to know that that's something that you have. So butterfly consciousness becomes, I already have the unconditional love that I need. How does my life look like if I operate from there? Right. As opposed to operating from, I have to do this to get the love that I'm looking for.
Right. And so that would be more the caterpillar consciousness, right?
Yes,
is that
right.
we talk about. It's more, I always think of it like you're leveling up as a caterpillar first, up to butterfly consciousness. And in the process, this really does happen. We see our patients every day that are, I call it leveling up, but they literally almost like come out of a fog of what they were in.
Yes,
sometimes I call it veils being unlifted, but we end up seeing that true, authentic self. And it's beautiful. And when that is shown, like you said, real love or peace or an inner peace that, you know, oh yeah, I'm peaceful. And it's like, and they're really inside shaking like a leaf, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like when they actually feel a deeper peace, then they're like, oh, I am peace. I feel that now. Now what can I do with it? Now I can meditate on that.
Yes.
And so with your book, that's essentially what the paradigm of the butterfly, the healing way is all about, is using these techniques and using really, really all of it. Changing the where you are mentally,
yes.
and
yeah,
sometimes
for sure.
physically,
and taking it and making it integrating it in part of your life, so that it doesn't just be it moves beyond just being a flash of light in the darkness, for example, and something that's an ongoing thing that carries you forward. And something else you mentioned I wanted to talk on. You know, this is a process. You know, it's not something that you do once and then you stop. You know, it's a continuous spiral where you'll come back around and you say, well, didn't I see this before? But now you're seeing it from a different perspective, and you might come back again. Mm-hmm. And that's an ongoing journey of life. Life's constantly changing. We're very rarely at some steady state in life. There's always an ongoing evolution, whether we want it to be true or not. And so this is a process that can be an ongoing process of life, of moving through life in an evolving, transformative way, allowing that process to just sort of work in your life and see where it takes you.
Yeah, and that's why I love to be able to do this, is the psychedelic integration part is really, how do we take that insight and put that into your life now that you've had these incredible shifts, consciousness, whatever you want to call it, attitude, mood, whatever you want to call it. There's so many words for it, right, we can use.
For sure.
But it's shifting that, right?
And I think that's something that we're very passionate about, which is the fact that psychedelics are very powerful catalyzers for change, but that they need a structure.
Right.
You need a structure. You need some guidance and support on what do you do with these powerful insights when you have them, and how do you shift from, you know, I had this powerful experience and just sort of sitting it on the shelf and leaving it, or taking it and making it a part of your life. And that's what this process is about, is recognizing that what happens in this mysterious process can be the foundational bricks for a new existence, an existence that's as different as a caterpillar and a butterfly, although they're the same being. But we can have lives that are that different in our everyday experience.
Yes, we literally see it every day, which kind of goes back to addressing this more in the mental health world, right? And so, in your opinion, what do you think the role of psychedelic medications have in that, in mental health right now?
Well, I think they have a huge role right now. I think it's a new and very intriguing area in the treatment of not just mental health, but I think in personal growth and the overall elevation of consciousness and using these substances in a guided, structured, intentional way are profoundly transformative in a way that literally creates butterflies from caterpillars. And so, you know, these are powerful substances. They have incredible capabilities for healing. They're not perfect. There are risks to them, and those risks can be mitigated very well by using structure, by doing this with experienced providers who have taken the time to be experienced not just with giving the medication and dosing and setting and all of those things that are important, but also being able to guide potential patients through the whole process from beginning to end, so that, you know, it's more than just having the experience. It's having the experience within an overall container and structure. Without a chrysalis, the caterpillar is just goo. And you need something to hold that. If you're going to enter to experience and fall apart, you need something to hold that. Mm-hmm. Or you can just spill away. Yeah. And with a container to hold it, with guidance and a structure, you can go from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And have the opportunity not just to experience what that is yourself, but what's the most fantastic thing about a butterfly? It's its demonstration of its beauty. Huh. It flies around and it demonstrates its beauty. It just is. And people on the other side of this process have the opportunity to be a demonstration of what it means to get to the other side, to get to the other side of sadness, to get to the other side of fear, to get to the other side of anger, and to find peace, forgiveness, mercy, unconditional love, to have those be a real thing that you exist from.
Right. And these are, I mean, when you're talking about forgiveness and stuff, these are incredible things to even talk about when we're talking about forgiveness, you know, letting go of resentment and all those things that can really drive somebody to do some terrible things to their own selves, to other people, behaviors. And so it is amazing how powerful this can be. It really is.
Yeah, it's incredibly powerful to change people at depth.
Yeah.
And to break through walls that have been built up for a lifetime. Yeah. To see things in a way that people can't imagine. Sometimes you can't even imagine how it feels to have peace if you've had a lifetime of survival mode.
Right, right. You know? And that's what we see almost every day.
You can't even, you know, that's the first thing that people often get in the in the process is just the realization of, oh, wow, this is peace?
Yeah,
that's what peace feels like. Yeah, congratulations. Now you feel it, right? And so now it's like, now that you've had a taste of that, for example, if you walk out of that door right now in a state of peace, not looking for it,
right,
knowing that you have it, how do you relate with the world outside that door? And that's transformation. That's emerging from the chrysalis is that leap of faith into, oh, well, I do have peace. Well, now what? So be it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know that look actually so much. And it's incredible. I always tell people, especially our patients, I tell them to document the whole thing because they want to see this change. They want to see, you know, years and years of depression or anxiety chasing them and, you know, suddenly be like, you know, depression no more. And, you know, suddenly a cloud is lifted or whatever it is, visuals that they have upon themselves that they feel. When that shifts, it's really incredible to see.
Yeah,
and we see it almost daily. But it is beautiful. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Anything else you want to add to it? Add to your book and your process, really, the process of creating it. Because I know there was a lot there, and I just know that because of the back end side of it. But there was a lot
writing it was a journey in and of itself, mm-hmm. which completed the healing. And it was a journey. I'd been thinking about it for about a year, mm-hmm. And had the title, and had to go through the process to write the content. And as you know, it was a trip back home finally that enabled me to have some closure, enabled me to finish the final chapter of the book. So the writing of the book, paralleled, my own healing journey, with the whole loss. From the beginning of, I have to figure it out from that moment of it's time to change.
For sure.
And then surrendering to the process. Well, I'm going to write this, and I'm just going to, you know, see what comes up, and I'm going to let it flow. And then seeing what came up, and doing that process of really coming to grips with, oh, wow, what was really the loss, and to see it in a new light. And then you throw in, a catalyzing psychedelic experience, which enables that powerful transformation. And then there's that choice. Then there's that moment where you have to look up and go, wow, that time's over. Mm-hmm. Is it really over? Mm-hmm. And that's a leap of faith. Mm-hmm. It's a leap of faith to believe that the war is over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a leap of faith to believe that the hard time is over, that it can't be over.
Right. Because when you're in that, you don't know.
You can't see anything else.
Yeah.
And then the clouds part and you go, was that real? Yeah. Yeah, it's real. And if you give it a chance, it'll stick back around. And that's the beauty of this aspect of emergence, when you make that leap of faith into the new idea. When I make the leap of faith into, there's still so much love and healing for me to give. There was a particular person I wanted to help, and I wasn't able to do that. There's a whole lot of other people that I can be present for, beginning with myself.
Right. Yeah.
And allow myself to exist in a state of healing. And just to let that be a demonstration that this is possible. You can get to the other side. You can get to the other side of grief. You can get to the other side of loss. You can still exist and be in this world and bring light and positivity from a connection to a different place.
Yeah. And you really have expressed that in the book. And I say book, but it really is, it is your journey and your story, but in it, you really allow other people to kind of walk their own journey with it. And you question and you ask them, and it becomes, I would say, more of a self-help book than your story, but it's pretty incredible.
It's
and
an
really, really powerful. It's short, but it's very powerful and to the point.
It's short and powerful.
It's short and powerful.
Right? And it's just enough words that it needs.
I like short and powerful.
I believe in simple, elegant solutions. And if it's overly complicated, then maybe we should remove a little bit. And so this is very simple and powerful, and works for just about anything that a person may find themselves in the midst of.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited for any person to read it because I do think it will help a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I know it's helped me in my own journey as well. But watching you go through the process has been incredible as well, to see it, to actually walk the walk, as we say, and walk the talk, because we do believe in that. I know I practice what I preach daily to you know, for my own wellness, mental and physical well-being. So
it's been quite, it was quite a journey and an exploration, to be able to bring this out into the world. And it's, you know, it's a big cliche. People say, you know, something, you know, terrible happens and you something positive comes from it. And I'll be honest, when I initially got the devastating news of the loss of my sister, I didn't see anything positive coming from it. Yeah. I didn't see the sun coming back up again. And then over time and through some work and some introspection and a lot of transformation and a lot of thought, you find yourself on the other side of it. And something positive did come from it. And something that can actually support and help you know, anyone who's interested in seeing how the way of the butterfly might be a way to support them in the future.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, it's incredible right now, the cutting edge stuff that's out for mental health right now. There's a lot of technology. There's obviously a lot of new medication. But thank you for sharing your story. I know I'm kind of close to you, so I hear your story a lot, but I think a lot of people, I think it will help a lot of people.
I hope so. It's been an honor to be able to write it and present it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And if any of our viewers want to, you know, reach out, we are always available. And there's lots of questions, obviously, lots of information out there as well about this kind of healing and about this kind of work, really what we're about. And that is healing with ketamine. And I am Jacqueline Drake, and this is Cassius Drake. And we will see you next time.